from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you can subscribe on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Coming up on today's show, we are going to discuss the Giants' big 9-3 win over the Mets in New York last night. It was Bruce Bochy's 1,000th win as Giants manager. We're going to talk about the game notes, talk about Bochy's legacy, and preview this upcoming game tonight against the Mets. But first, their record with the win, the Giants improved to 25-34, but they're still 16.5 games back in the National League West. The Dodgers, in first place, have won 7 in a row and are 43-19. So I stand by my declaration made last week that the division race is over for the Giants. With the 9-3 win, the Giants' run differential improved to minus 70, which is no longer last in the National League. The Pirates have a worse run differential. The Giants' run differential has an expected win-loss record of 23-36, so they're still outperforming it by 2 wins. They're 15-16 on the road, so a win tonight and they can be a 500 team on the road, but they're 10-18 at home, playing much better since that last game in Miami. So before we jump into the game notes, I want to make a correction from yesterday's show. I believe I said that last night's pitching matchup was a rematch of the 2014 wildcard game, but of course I meant the 2016 wildcard game. In 2014, they were in Pittsburgh and Bumgarner threw a shutout, and in 2016, they were in New York and Bumgarner threw a shutout. Amazing. But there was no shutout for Bumgarner tonight, even though it looked like it might go that way early on in the game. He was pitching very well early. He got into some trouble in the first and second innings, but worked out of it. In the bottom of the first, there were two on and no outs, and then Bumgarner got a fly out and then a ground ball to Longoria, who threw to Joe Panik, and Panik made a very nice backhanded dig out of the dirt to get the force out at second, and then he turned and fired to first for the double play. So Joe Panik's defense continues to be a bright spot for him and for the Giants. Giants had a little rally in the top of the fourth. Evan Longoria walked, Brandon Belt singled, Stephen Vogt flew out, and then Kevin Pillar hit an RBI single to left. Brandon Crawford then walked to load the bases, and Stephen Duggar lined a single to right field. So that drove in another run. The Giants did not aggressively try to send Kevin Pillar. He kind of had to hold up because the ball just barely fell in front of the right fielder. So I understand it there. But later in the game, we are going to talk about another base running decision that was made and why I think aggressively sending runners home is pretty much always the right call. So Madison Bumgarner was cruising along in this game, stranding runners on base, which is deserved for him because he came into the game with a below average left on base percentage, which is something that there's no reason to expect he would continue to be below average moving forward. But right around the time I was ready to declare that it was an excellent start for Bumgarner, he had trouble in the sixth inning. He allowed a leadoff home run to Pete Alonso, who's done that a lot this season. He has 20 now on the year for the rookie Alonso. He then issued a walk and then allowed another homer to Wilson Ramos. So just like that, the Giants' 2-0 lead was gone and it was 3-2 Mets. And the final line for Bumgarner turned out to be not very pretty. He went 6 innings, allowed 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. So none of that is terrible, but allowing 2 home runs in a start is not a particularly good sign when you consider that the Giants are probably actively trying to at least consider trading him. Home runs are pretty much the worst outcome you can have, obviously. So for the season now, he's allowing 1.35 home runs per 9 innings, which is pretty high. I mean, it's a little bit worse than average. It is one of the slowest things to stabilize, so it's not necessarily like something we should expect that exact number moving forward, but some of the regression we saw from Bumgarner in 2017 was suddenly allowing home runs at a much higher rate than at any point in his career. And just to kind of put that in perspective, he's allowed 12 home runs this season. He allowed 12 in 200 innings in 2011, 15 in 200 innings in 2013, and only 20 in like 215 plus innings in 2014 and 2015. So the pace is a little higher. The home run rate across baseball is up. But all told, he has a 4.05 ERA with peripherals in the high threes, 3.88 fielding independent pitching, 3.85 expected fielding independent pitching when you set the home run rate to the league average. So all told, with the largest sample we have yet, I would say Madison Bumgarner is looking more like a slightly above average pitcher than some kind of dominant ace. There's really not a world of difference between him and someone like Dallas Keuchel in terms of just pure performance to expect. So I do not think that he's going to net some kind of ridiculous haul just for him alone based on what I've seen so far this year. He is showing improvement over last year. Strikeout rate is still up a few ticks. Walk rate is down, but overall just not totally wowed by the performance thus far from Madison Bumgarner. In the top of the seventh, with two outs and runners on the corners, Brandon Belt hit a two-strike double to right field that tied the game. Evan Longoria tried to score from first and was thrown out at the plate on a good relay. So you all know how I feel about trying to push runners across at home plate. I think it is a very good idea. As long as the guy has about a 3 in 10 chance of being safe, it's a good move to send him with two outs. And I would say that he did. And the fact that he was out by 10 feet or whatever, that means almost nothing because, you know, that's split second to make that up. If there's any kind of bobble on the exchange or the throw is offline or it short hops the catcher and he can't handle it momentarily, the runner is safe. So it's a worthwhile gamble with two outs. Did not work in that one instance. But as long as it works just like 30% of the time, it's the right move. But the other point there is about Brandon Belt, and it was another clutch two-out hit for him on this road trip. He's had several of these, and there are plenty of people out there who claim that Brandon Belt is never clutch. So I guess I wonder, do they even watch the games? Because those people are awfully quiet when he's coming up there being their best hitter consistently and coming up with big hits like he did yesterday. Just a little more about Belt. He's pretty clearly their best hitter right now. His walk rate is up at 14%, which is very high. It's the 11th highest in the National League. His strikeout rate is only 20%, which would be a career best, and it is better than the approximately 22% National League non-pitcher average. He also hits the ball in the air a ton, which is a very desirable quality. Ground balls are death in today's day and age with all the shifting. So everyone makes a big deal about Brandon Belt and the shift, but he almost never hits the ball on the ground. So less than any other player does he actually like hit a ground ball that the defense can handle. That's why some of the more innovative teams, instead of putting a dramatic infield shift on him, they use four guys in the outfield because that's where he's hitting the ball most of the time. And that's kind of what you want in today's day and age. Ground balls just don't often lead to very good outcomes. So all told, he has a 249 average, 363 on base, 475 slugging, which is very solid, and he represents the best threat on the Giants team right now. Mark Melancon continued his strong season, had a good bottom of the ninth to push the game to extra innings. Melancon has continued to improve. He's allowing less hard contact than he did the last couple of years when he kind of got lit up with a lot of hard contact. Coming up in the next half of the show, we'll continue to talk about this game. We'll talk about how the Giants were able to win in extra innings. We'll discuss Bochy's legacy, and we'll preview this upcoming game against the Mets tonight. To get this show every day, you can subscribe on the brand new podcast app Himalaya. It's free, super easy to use, has every single podcast you love or are searching for. They have personally curated playlists made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers, themed collections of shows to help with podcast discovery. You can find everything from comedy to mystery, thrillers, and sports. Listeners can follow their favorite shows and creators, like and comment on individual episodes, and build podcast playlists by the episode, customize them just like a playlist for songs, and share it through social, text, and email. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store, and don't forget to follow Locked On Giants Baseball when you're there. So all that is coming up next, but first, as promised, we're going to continue to talk about this 9-3 win for the Giants, 6 runs in extra innings, and we'll talk about Bruce Bochy's legacy, his 1,000th win as Giants manager, and we'll preview the upcoming game against the Mets. Tyler Austin led off the 10th with a pinch hit single to right. Brandon Belt walked, and just another example of Brandon Belt and how walks are important. The Giants have a lot of super aggressive hitters, Kevin Pillar, Evan Longoria, who just hack at pitches outside of the strike zone constantly. And we talk about batting average. A lot of announcers only discuss batting average, and it's just a perfect example of why a walk is super valuable, because the difference between an out and getting a guy on base is so often enormous. So the fact that Belt is able to walk, it's literally no different than a single in that situation. Keeps the line moving, gets two on and no outs instead of being super aggressive and making an out, which would be the likely outcome from just constantly swinging the bat. There was a wild pitch by Robert Gazelman that advanced Tyler Austin and Brandon Belt, so there were runners on second and third with no outs, and Stephen Vogt hit a 2-0 double down the right field line over the head of Michael Conforto. It scored both runners. Stephen Vogt has continued to be a very nice pickup by Farhan Zaidi in the front office. Grew up a Giants fan, does well against right-handed pitching. Much better fit, in my opinion, on the roster than Nick Hundley, who was a well below average pitch framer. Kevin Pillar then grounded out to second, which advanced Vogt to third. Brandon Crawford was intentionally walked to put runners on the corners, and then Steven Duggar hit a double on a ground ball back to the pitcher. It hit the pitcher, ricocheted into left field, allowed Vogt to score, Crawford to third, Duggar to second. Hector Santiago came in to pitch, and Pablo Sandoval hit a double batting right-handed down the left field line that scored both runs. Joe Panik then popped out, and then Mike Yastrzemski had his first hit of the night. They're technically calling it a single, but in my eyes, it was a triple. I do not like the single and two base error ruling there. To me, if you hit the ball hard and it gets past the right fielder, it's a triple. I mean, it was smoked and he was trying to cut the ball off and make a strong throw to nail the runner who was on second, and it got by him, and Yastrzemski ended up at third. So I'm calling it a triple. So Tyler Austin came up again for the second time in the inning and struck out. But the Giants had scored six runs, led 9-3. Bruce Bochy elected to go to Derek Holland, who got two quick outs but then allowed two hits, and the game ended on a sharp line drive to right field. So a little more shakiness from Derek Holland. That has really been the theme of his season, but he did get the job done, and it was win number 1,000 for Bruce Bochy in a Giants uniform. So enormous tip of the hat to Bruce Bochy. He deserves all the positive things that are said about him. It really is going to be sad to see him go. I can't say I always agreed with everything he's done, especially in the regular season. I think he's been quite tremendous in the postseason with some of his managerial moves. But he's an excellent leader, and the players love playing for him, and that can't be overstated. He will be missed, and it's a tremendous accomplishment. He had almost 1,000 wins with the Padres as well. So just an incredible achievement for Bochy, that to go along with the three rings. Never been fired in his career managing since the 90s. He's going to go down as one of the greatest managers of all time, as he should. Sure thing Hall of Famer, and in my opinion, they should make a statue for Bruce Bochy at Oracle Park. I think he is worthy of anyone to survive this entire era with the Giants. And there have been several players who were kind of involved with all three titles, but he has been the rock of it all from the end of the Barry Bonds era through the championship era, and now bringing in the next era, the Farhan Zaidi new age era. Bochy has been there through it all and will easily go down as the most impactful manager in San Francisco Giants history thus far, and it will be a hard task for anyone to top him. So I do think he, more than any other person who has been there through this era, is worthy of a statue for the Giants. So coming up tonight, the Giants will play the Mets again, and Tyler Beede is on the mound, and I think this is a crucial start for the Giants because he had a good outing in his last start against the Marlins, but of course that was the Marlins. And so if he can continue that, that's just going to be a huge positive for the San Francisco Giants. But if he struggles again, then they have all kinds of problems again because their rotation is in bad shape as it is. They need these young guys to step up and kind of claim these spots, especially if and when Madison Bumgarner gets traded. It's going to be a total dumpster fire if these young guys can't really prove that they're major leaguers, and Tyler Beede is a huge part of that. So if he can have a good start, that'll be a tremendous positive. But if he gets roughed around and can't throw strikes and walks a ton of batters, then the Giants have issues on their hands once again. So I can't wait to watch the game and be with you again tomorrow to discuss what happens. To get this show every day, please consider subscribing on the brand new podcast app Himalaya or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Cove_ Lorecast. If you like the show, please consider leaving a review and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.